Have you ever seen these screen doors, these heavy metal screen doors, you know, on homes? They actually have some pretty nice ornamental ones now, but they used to just look like a, you know, a jail or something, you know. But they have these heavy screen doors. If you see those on a house, what is that saying? What does that say to you if you've seen that that screen door? Bad neighborhood, possibly. We don't want you, right? We don't want you coming. There's a lot of different things it could say. But one of the things certainly it says is no entrance without permission, right? You need permission to get past this thing. This isn't just, you know, you're not going to have an easy time to get through here. And we want to let you know that. We want to let you know that you must have permission to enter, or you must be invited, or the door must be opened from the inside to let you in. All right, let me ask you this question. What if I have the greatest product in the world? What if I'm this guy? What if I have a $10 million check from... Is that even real? Is that even like a real thing? I don't even know if that's real. But anyway, it says your name here. But what if I really am that guy? Do I now, because I have this wonderful, great product, do I now have your permission to just smash down your door and break in because my product's so wonderful? It's still a crime, right? It's still breaking and entering. However, if any of you have a $10 million check for me, you have my permission. Smash the door, cut a hole in the roof, anything you want to do, just drop that thing in there, right? And I'll fix it later. But it's still a crime. It doesn't matter how great what we have is. It doesn't matter what our product is, how wonderful it is. It's still a crime without permission, without an invitation. And I think we've done that, folks. I think we've done that witnessing. We've represented Jesus and we've said, oh, this is so great. This is such a great product. We forgot to actually get permission to share, to get permission to enter. And my experience tells me the human heart is just like that iron gate. It's just like that those wrought iron bars and the heavy metal lock. And it's a very impenetrable device that God has given us unless it's open. Because if I just push, kind of smash my way in, the door just closes more, and the heart's the same way. It just closes, it closes, it closes, it closes. It must have permission. We must have permission. I don't care how great our product is, we still need permission. The human heart needs permission. You know, we like that even with our personal space, right? We don't like people just invading our personal space, isn't that right? It's scary sometimes. You don't know what the intent is. It could be criminal. Well, I'm fairly friendly down on North Street. I'm fairly friendly, and I'm always walking up to people, and especially the volunteers. I'm tapping them on the back, say, hey, thanks for coming today. And a couple of times I forgot, and I've done this to some of our folks down there. And the other day, I walked up behind the guy, and I'm just being nice. I said, hey, how you doing, Larry? Man, he jumped. He was ready. He was ready to take me down, you know. I'm like, whoa. You know, so you got to have permission sometimes, you know. You need permission to enter somebody's space, and especially people that are on guard, you know. They're ready. They're not at peace themselves. So, at any rate, if you're going to witness for Jesus, if you're going to be a witness, we must get permission. The human heart requires permission. It has to give us permission for it to work, for it to have any benefit whatsoever. All right. Let's look at what Paul said. I think Paul, you know, the greatest witness for Jesus known to man, and we're still benefiting from his wisdom, and certainly he was an expert in go to all the earth and be my witness. So let's look at what he said and how he did it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, King James says this, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You could also say of love, in demonstration of love, the Spirit and power and love. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So notice he said, the greatest witnesser that ever lived said, I did not come with some kind of wise, clever arguments or debates. That's not how I presented Jesus. You know why? Because without permission, those words don't work. Those words, you may have that experience. You're trying to give words to people that haven't given you permission to give them words. And Paul said, I didn't do that. I didn't come with some wise, clever debates or arguments. I came with a demonstration. I came with a demonstration of love. Well, Peter, he basically said the same thing. He's a pretty good evangelist, Peter was. He's a pretty good witness for Jesus. On his first sermon as a leader of the church in Jerusalem, his first sermon, 3,000 converts, so I'd say he's pretty effective, right? He did pretty well. So he knows what he's talking about. Well, look what he said. And if someone asks about the hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. King James says, always have an answer, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. So we're always having an answer. Jesus said, go be my witness, but look, you got to get permission. So go be ready. You know, you have to wait for permission. But once you get that permission, once that request is made, once that invitation is made, then always be ready with an answer. And I'm convinced we're hurting the cause of Christ with our movement without permission. This is true in family and friends and coworkers and strangers. You got to have permission. Nobody walks around with a sign saying, please invade my life. You know, nobody really wants that. Permission. And so two of the greatest evangelists that ever lived said, I didn't come with words or arguments. I came with a demonstration. And then Peter says, always wait for permission and then be ready to answer. See, but for us, that's a little boring. We'd rather just get it done, you know. We don't like the loose ends and tie, you know. We like to tie things up. But he says, wait. Be ready with an answer. Okay. So Jesus said, go into all the world. And in this series, what we've been talking about is, okay, so if we're not going with words because we require permission, how do we get permission? This is how we get permission. Go into all the world and just share with those in need. That's how you witness for Jesus. It's no more difficult than that. Go into all the world and share with those in need. That's what the early church did. We talked about that last week. Go into all the world and share with those in need. That's how we do it. Now, I've noticed this. When you're sharing with people that need, really rare, one out of 1,000 maybe, have I had a hungry person get mad at me for sharing food. I mean, it's real rare, really rare. You know, see, I go and share, and you'll get permission. You'll get permission to share. Just go and share with those in need. And where it really kicks in, I think spiritually, where it really kicks in is when we share with strangers. See, of course you're supposed to care for yourself. The Bible says no man ever yet didn't care for himself. And of course you're supposed to care for your own. Isn't that right? Jesus said, what reward do you have when you love people who love you? That's normal. You're supposed to care for your own. But when we care for strangers, something happens. We change the world. When we care for strangers, we change the world. Yesterday, a little guy came up a couple weeks ago, and I've seen him for quite a while, and I didn't know his story, though, and he started telling me a little bit of his story, and he said, I really like a radio. So I get him this little radio with earbuds only, you know, a little, and I thought, oh, this will be great. It's real small, real light, you know, and earbuds. He came back the next week. He was so happy with this radio. He came back the next week, and he goes, my ears are sore. he goes, I can't even touch my ears. They're so sore. And he's a real old guy. He's really old. So I said, okay, well, what works better for you? And he goes, a plug-in radio. And then he told me a little bit about his life. He has a pension, a small pension. He's 20 years. He worked somewhere. He didn't get into where. But it's just enough to stay off the street. It's basically just enough to stay off the street. And He worries every day that his pension's going to be taken away. You know that little system set up, but he has no spare room for anything, including a little radio. So he comes to eat every day as much as he can. He comes to lunch, and then we serve dinner twice a night, a week, and then another church serves on Sunday nights. So there's at least three nights of dinner. So he comes to all those, and he's this real nice little guy. So I got him this little AC plug-in radio, and he's the happiest guy in the world. He gave me permission to share with him. And I've never preached a sermon. I've never prayed. I've never quoted a Bible verse. I've never done any of that. And one of the guys at our campground, somebody showed up, a stranger showed up and was looking for a different property. And he goes, "What's going on here? Who are you?" And who knows what this guy was. But Larry, who's staying out there, he goes, one of our campers, he goes, "Pastor Rick owns this." He goes, "Ponce Church owns this. And he's a heck of a preacher." He just said it out of nowhere. That's what he told me. He didn't use the word heck, but he said, "He's a heck of a preacher." I've never even preached. How does he know? Share. See that? You're just sharing. Sharing in the name of Jesus. Share. And you'll get permission. People will gladly, 999 times out of 1,000, people will gladly give you permission to share with them. All right, now here's a key when we share. When we go into all the world, we share with those in need. This will help us, we always descend. If you want to know who to share to, always descend. We never have to ascend. We're not looking for the high and mighty. We're looking for the rich and famous. You know, the Christian world gets excited when rich and famous people join. Well, that's not who Jesus looked for. He didn't look for those folks. You always descend. It just means to move down, to go from a higher place to a lower place. As a Christian, when you go representing Jesus, always descend. How many agree Jesus did some descending? Isn't that right? If you go from a throne in heaven to a manger, that's quite a descent, I would say. That's Christianity. And then here we have a king who descends all the way down to servant and even washing feet of human beings. That's a descension. If you're going to represent this guy, you have to learn to descend. And actually, descend is the goal. Wherever you're at, you're moving downward. See, the full move down to the hungry, the clothed to the unclothed, the sheltered to the non-sheltered, the free to the prisoner. I was thinking about that the other day. A lot of the folks we know down there, they're not in physical jail, but they're certainly prisoners. They're prisoners to their mind, their emotions, their desires. They're prisoners down there, urges. And so the free, thank God for being free, the free are always to reach out to the prisoner. The sheltered to the non-shelter. So we descend. And if we don't understand this descending, listen folks, we're not going to get along with Jesus too well. We're not really going to really understand what Jesus is all about until we understand we move downward. That's how we go. We don't seek, you know, some kind of glory here. We move downward. To those with much, to those with little. It's always that way. Look what Jesus demonstrated, what we're talking about here in John 13:8. No, Peter protested. Jesus said he was going to wash all the disciples' feet, including Judas. No, Peter protested. "You will never, ever wash my feet," Jesus replied. "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." The other translation says, "No part, no share, or you can't be involved with me." Jesus said, and if you don't understand this descending thing, he may not have washed Jesus' feet. That don't sound right to, or Judas' feet. That don't sound right to me, but we'll have to check that. Judas may have left the evening before this. But anyway, notice what he said. Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. You'll have no part with me. If you don't understand me standing here and bending down and washing your feet, if you don't understand that process, you're not going to understand me. When you go share, always descend. Can't be involved. Now, when we descend, always look to descend economically. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:13. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourself. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. As the scripture says, those who gather a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. So Paul's writing here, he says it's always that way. Those with plenty help those with little. It's always been that way. All right. This is my favorite part. When I talk about sharing, listen, I just want to talk some common sense to you here. When I talk about sharing, I am never, ever, 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 ever talking about government-forced sharing. Ever. I'm never, ever does that enter my mind. As a matter of fact, that is probably the number one hindrance to helping the poor that we face. Let me share with you what I mean about that. I think it's the worst idea ever created. Of course, they love it, but I think it's the worst idea ever created. I'm going to force you to give me some money. I'm going to help somebody with it. That's the worst idea that's ever been created. See, helping people is a spiritual operation. Putting a spiritual operation in charge of, putting unspiritual people in charge of a spiritual operation, the worst idea that's ever been made. Because it's a spiritual thing. The number one worst thing you can do for people with little, the number one worst thing is give them money or give them a food card or give them anything they can barter with. The number one worst thing you can do. Because I've seen the results. They're not changing. The worst. I would feel so bad, folks. I would feel so bad if once a month we went to North Street and just handed out $400 to everybody. I would feel so bad. I'd feel like I just hurt them enormously. And I care for these people. I would be hurting them enormously by doing that. It's the worst possible thing you could do for them. Worst possible thing. You say, well, what would you do? Well, in Rickland, This is a fictional place that will never see the light of day. But in Rickland, every human being in this country, every human being would have shelter, a clean bed, a bathroom, and a prepared meal. Every human being. They would not get a dime from me. Not a dime. Now, there's maybe rare exceptions. Somebody came up to me yesterday. She goes, hey, so-and-so needs a prescription for $22. Should I just give her the $22? I'm like, I'm not giving her $22. I said, I'll tell you what I've done for her before. I find out where her pharmacy is, and I will call and pay for that prescription over the phone. I'm not giving her $22. Because a lot of times that $22 gets lost before it gets to the pharmacy. So I would, rare occasions, rare exceptions. But in Rickland, the worst you can do is you have a bed, you have an address, you have a bed, you have a bathroom, you have prepared meals, and you have freedom. That's the worst you're going to get in America. And I, this is just my guess, but I think that plan would cost about half of the current plan of just giving them cash. You understand what the cash is for, right? You give them cash for votes. You give them, and even if they're not voting, the people that like that you're giving cash will vote for you. You give them cash so we don't have to think about it. It's the worst possible thing we can do for these folks. The worst possible idea. Why? Because this is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual operation. So I've observed this for 2.5, I'm getting close to 3 years. I've observed this, and I see a lot of people making the rules and the laws. They don't see. They're not there. Provide them a place to live. Don't give them anything to barter with. Don't give them anything to cash, anything to sell on a discount. Don't give them anything like that. Just provide for them. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you're hungry, feed them. If they need clothes, clothe them. Shelter them. That's what he said. He knew what he's talking about. Nowhere in the scripture does it say, give the poor some cash. Now, if you want to, I don't mind, see a guy. The last guy I gave cash to, he had his little sign. He said, need beer. I'm like, hey. Yeah, honest. I'm going to reward your honesty, right? That's like the woman at the well last week. Jesus, she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, well, you're honest about that. You don't have a husband. You've had 5 and you're living with a guy. So the guy who needed a beer, here's a couple bucks. But that's the rare exception. But we'd get everybody off the street. And then from there, it's possible if you wanted to. You may never get off that level, but it's possible. You have an address. You have a place to go every night. You have food every day. It's possible you could build on that and change your life. It's possible. I don't know how many would. But that's what I do. We're spending billions. It's terrible. Worst thing we can possibly do is you might as well just give them some crack. It's basically the same thing, so they can just smoke it up. It's terrible. Rickland. All right. So let's wind this down. Let's look at some of the perks of witnessing. That's how we witness. Go into all the world and share with those in need. Share what you have. And Jesus said this in Matthew 5:8, King James, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm convinced of this, folks. When you begin to practice descending, like Jesus did, he went from throne to manger. When you begin to practice descending from those with plenty to those with little, and Jesus said so, you will see God. Now, they don't look like God a lot of times. God wanted some cigarettes and got mad at me when I didn't buy them for him yesterday. They don't look like God a lot of times. Oh, he was real mad yesterday. He was real mad. He bartered his way all the way down. He said, how about that little pack of cigars? They're $1.25, just a little pack of cigars. I said, I'm not doing it. He said, if I see some this week, I'll bring some for you next week. Smoking cigars is the least of his problems, this guy. So they don't look like God. But Jesus said, you'll see God. In another place, he says, John 14:23, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. Go share with those in need. Always move down. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. That's wild to me. First he says, you'll see God, and then he says, we'll just live with you. We'll just come in and just live with you. When? When you love me and do what I say. And then lastly, he said in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Does that sound like witnessing to you? Prove to the world. The world shall know. How? By our what? Love. Our love. Has nothing to do with, just pushing and smashing our way in with words because we have this great gift we want to give people. Forget all that. Show the world your love, and they'll give you permission. They will ask you, why are you doing that? And even if they don't ask you, they will think it. Just like our friend Larry, he's heard me preach hundreds of sermons, and I've never said a word. And he thinks I'm a great preacher. Never said a word yet. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, go. When you go, share. When you share, the world will see God. Amen. 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 Let's thank our Facebook Live audience.